Did Sovereign Grace Ministries, some of its churches, and a number of its pastors conspire to cover up child sex abuse and what I have referred to as American evangelicalism's biggest sex scandal to date? Well, that's the question at the center of a class action lawsuit. It was initially actually a second amended complaint was filed last year, but dismissed due to the statute of limitations. But on Monday, the case will be heard on appeal. And considering the recent turn of events, many eyes are going to be on this hearing coming up on Monday. And we're going to get a preview now from attorney Susan Burke, who is representing the 11 plaintiffs in this very significant lawsuit. And Susan, it's great to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. Well, just briefly, can you refresh everybody's memories on exactly why you're needing to appeal this lawsuit and just give us kind of the main points here?
Yes, certainly. We filed a lawsuit on behalf of the victims alleging that there had been a conspiracy to hide the ongoing sexual abuse of children. The court heard argument from the defendants who argued that the court shouldn't even hear the facts at all. They should not consider the evidence, but rather they should just dismiss it as barred by the statute of limitations. We then argued in response that although the sexual assaults themselves had occurred much earlier in time, the victims only learned of the conspiracy in 2011 when the silos between different victims began to break down and people began to share information and realized that there was this large cover-up, this conspiracy. So unfortunately, the trial court ruled against us. We believe we have the better of the argument, and so we appealed it to the appellate level in Maryland.
Very good. Now, this is a very significant point. This lawsuit, as you said, is alleging conspiracy and cover-up. Now, just recently, Nathaniel Morales, who was one of the Sovereign Grace predators, was convicted of his sexual crimes. And during that trial, one of the defendants in your lawsuit, Pastor Grant Lehman, testified that he knew about the abuse and did not report it, which is exactly what your clients are alleging happened. Now, what difference does it make for the appeal that the conspiracy theory is now a conspiracy fact, at least as pertains to Grant Lehman?
Well, unfortunately, it does not weigh in on the appeal at all. At this stage in the proceedings, the court is looking merely at the timing. Are we permitted to go forward or are we barred by the statute of limitations? You know, needless to say, we're pleased with the prosecution, pleased with the fact that we now have sworn testimony from one of the defendants admitting exactly what we alleged in the complaint. So it's always helpful to have the allegations corroborated, but sadly, that will have no bearing on the appeal itself.
So what do you bring before the court on Monday to make your case that, in fact, the lawsuit should be allowed to go forward?
Well, it really is a purely legal issue as to when do you start the clock ticking for the conspiracy claim. Do you start it at the point of the physical harm, the sexual assault, or do you start it at the point that the conspiracy was discovered, which was much later in 2011? It's an open legal question in Maryland as to when you start the running. And so that is what we will be discussing with the Court of Appeals. From their perspective, they need to assume that everything was stated in the complaint is true and simply look at this technical legal issue.
Now, Susan, is there legal precedent there in the state of Maryland for this type of a situation where you have to weigh in on the legality of the timing, as you said, when the clock starts ticking on a conspiracy of child abuse cover-up?
Yes, we do have. There is case law in Maryland that we have cited in our briefing that we believe supports our position that the better way to judge when the clock starts is upon discovery. So, you know, there is some support. Unfortunately, there's some case law that goes the other way as well. So it should be an interesting argument before the appellate panel.
Now, are they going to weigh in on Monday and say, yes, it'll go forward or no, it won't? Or are you anticipating you'll just have this hearing and then it'll be a while before you hear whether or not you can proceed?
The latter, Janet. It will take some time. Normally with this type of issue, they ask the questions that they have. They let the lawyers argue both sides. Then they go back and they deliberate and they issue a written ruling, usually within a few months after they've heard the argument.
Okay. Now, how do your clients make the case, Susan, that the Sovereign Grace pastors and these entities conspired to cover up sexual abuse?
Well, I think the fact, as came out, for example, in the criminal trial that you mentioned, the Morales trial, I think the facts are that the pastors knew of the various instances of sexual abuse. They knew that they had a duty to report it into the police. They discussed with each other whether or not to do so, and they reached an agreement. They collectively decided that they were going to cover it up rather than bring it forward to the secular authorities.
Incredible.
And they took steps to encourage anyone who learned of it to do the same.
Wow. Well, now, C.J. Mahaney, who is the former head of Sovereign Grace Ministries and a defendant in your lawsuit, recently said, "I've never conspired to protect a child predator, and I also deny all the claims made against me in the civil suit." What do you make of those claims, and what can you tell for anything from that statement about what he is specifically denying?
Well, if you look at the contrast between what C.J. Mahaney and the various church leaders have stated about the flat denials, and then you look at the sworn under oath testimony that came out in the Morales trial, you see a clear discrepancy. Obviously, we are hopeful we will get to a trial, in which case, you know, all the testimony will be under oath, and we believe we have the evidence needed to prevail.
Now, does the Maryland pastor penitent confidentiality exception apply in the case of any of these defendants? In other words, are they protected at all under the First Amendment that they can have confidential interactions with parishioners, and that's not applicable or you know, anything you can bring up in a court of law to get them into any civil or, well, civil trouble, I would say, in this case? Is there anything like that as an issue in this whole situation?
No, because those privileges really turn on the circumstances. They're intended to protect instances when a parishioner comes forward in a penitent role, you know, confessing to sins. That's not what occurred here. What we have here is the pastors finding out about ongoing sexual abuse from persons other than the perpetrators. And so those privileges don't apply at all in those settings.
Okay. Now, what would be the penalty under law for not reporting? In other words, if you are able to go forward with the lawsuit and, in fact, your clients do prevail, what is the penalty there?
Well, that is really left in the hands of capable American jurors. They'll listen to all the evidence. They'll listen to the victims testify about the impact it's had on their lives. And then they will reach a judgment as to what is the appropriate level to compensate for the harms that have been done.
Okay. What will you need to prove, Susan, in order to show that there was conspiracy, that there was cover-up? What sort of burden of proof do you have?
We need to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that there was an agreement to keep the matters, the information, hidden, to keep it silent. And so, you know, people tend to view the word conspiracy, they tend to inflate it. A conspiracy is very simply an agreement to do something illegal. And so the agreement can be in writing or it can be verbal. It can be a group of people sitting together talking about what to do and reaching the wrongful conclusion that they should hide information, that they should hide ongoing crime.
Now, do your clients have hard evidence that will be presented in the course of a trial that may be coming up that there was a conspiracy, that they actually have things in writing that would back that up?
Yes, there are documents that back it up, as well as, of course, sworn testimony. I mean, since the last time I was on the show, the volume of evidence has grown because of the effective prosecution and the fact that we now have defendants admitting under oath to the conspiracy. So the evidentiary record is very robust. The real question for us is, are we going to be able to get into court?
Oh, goodness. Now, what about those five plaintiffs from Virginia? Because you had, you know, will a separate lawsuit be filed since these plaintiffs were dismissed for lack of jurisdiction?
Yes, we're going to proceed in Virginia against the Virginia group.
Okay. And any timeline on that so far? Or are you just kind of too busy with what you're currently doing?
Well, it's going to be in the relatively near future. We have, as you can imagine, with the ongoing criminal prosecutions, we've ended up having other victims come forward. And so what we want to do is make sure that everyone who has contacted us, that we've had an opportunity to investigate their allegations and determine whether or not they should be joined in with the others. So we anticipate in the relatively near future, within the next few months, that those investigations should be done and we should be moving forward in Virginia and then hopefully with the ruling on the statute in our favor in Maryland as well.
Wow. Now, are there any criminal convictions or attempts at criminal convictions of predators still outstanding?
Well, obviously, that is something that is beyond my knowledge. The government prosecutors are the ones who would know that. What I can tell you is that from an outsider perspective, it does appear that they remain interested in investigating the criminal contact, the criminal conduct. So we believe that there's likely to be more criminal prosecution.
Oh, wow. Now, what will you do if your appeal to, I guess it's the Maryland Court of Special Appeals, if that's denied, will you move on with an appeal to the Maryland Court of Appeals?
Yes, we'll keep fighting until we have no more ways left to fight. Obviously, we're very honored that these victims came to us. I have tremendous admiration for these folks that have been willing to speak up, to bring public attention to this terrible, terrible crimes that have occurred into the conspiracy to cover it all up. So, you know, from our perspective, my colleague Bill O'Neill and I mean, we're committed to continuing this fight as far as we can.
Now, you had mentioned earlier, Susan, and I'm sure people will feel a little bit downtrodden by hearing the news that you can't bring in the Grant Lehman testimony necessarily into this next hearing because it's all a matter of timing. At what point in the case could you bring that into the record?
If we obtain a reversal and the Maryland, it goes back to the trial court, we then are in what's called discovery. And at that point, we can bring in all of the different evidence. We then move to trial. And at trial, we would call Mr. Lehman to the stand. We would ask him questions. Presumably, he would testify again, consistent with his prior sworn testimony. If he didn't, we could use that to impeach him. So, you know, it will be able to be admitted into evidence if we are able to get to trial.
Okay. Now, the hearing on Monday, it's 9 a.m., right?
That's correct.
Okay. 9 a.m., the hearing for the appeal of the Sovereign Grace class action sex abuse lawsuit. A lot of people have been following this story. It is a very big story. And Susan Burke, the attorney for the plaintiffs, has been joining us, giving us a preview. But Susan, thank you so much for your time. I'm really appreciative of your time bringing us up to speed on this important case.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you. And we'll be back right after this.